peace be multiplied to us from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We take a dramatic shift in the church calendar today. Last Sunday, as we know, we celebrated the transfiguration, the great mountaintop experience of Peter, James, and John as the Lord was transfigured before them by the power of his Father, God Almighty. And suddenly dive into Lent. Church calendar gives us time for consideration over the next 40 days. Often called in Lutheran circles the Lenten journey. Time for assessment, time for contemplation, time for evaluation of self, what it means to be his, what it costs for our salvation, ultimately where it took the Lord, to the cross, ultimately from there to the resurrection as well. The gospel text for this Sunday morning is traditional. We actually have three texts regarding the temptations of Christ, as they're called: Matthew in chapter 4, Luke in chapter 4, and Mark in chapter 1. Very rarely do we see Mark being read because it's only two verses. Mark was what we might say is hard-hitting. Just hit the high spots going down the road. But Matthew and Luke are very much similar, very much alike, as they record the temptations of the Lord after he returned from the wilderness and was having this discussion or this interaction with the archenemy of the soul. So Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, we'll read through verse 11, the following in Jesus' name. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones might be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus responded, said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. In the ancient church, which occurs or which can be considered those immediate years following the ascension of the Lord and the work of the apostles, Lent was a time for instruction for new converts about the Christian faith, and oftentimes was followed by baptism on Easter. The gospel text speaks to us directly about who Christ is, as he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. From Transfiguration Mountain, we now move to the temptations of the Lord as he was in the wilderness. The temptations are on lips of an adversary. Twice in the temptation narrative that we have, or the testing of the Lord, the words that are being used really taunt Jesus Christ. Notice the question, if you be. Well, of course, the enemy of the soul knew he was. But you know what that raises question? Well, what if? Sometimes there's uncertainty in our lives. We stand back, we might ponder for a moment and use the great word if. If only. What if? Calling into question a decision we might make. Calling into a question a problem we might be having. The word temptation in English and in the King James translation has many connotations. Oftentimes, referring to the human appetite for things that might bring us pleasure or things that would bring us satisfaction. I think it's helpful to consider here or think of the temptations of Jesus as the testing of God's Son. Because the Greek word that is used in this is has to do with testing versus appetite for pleasure. Do we ever go through moments of testing? Well, here we have testing that has to do with identity of Jesus as the Son of God. What kind of Son of God is he? And what kind of Son of God will he be? Well, we know the will he be piece because it leads to the cross. And thus this is more often than not the opening text for the season of Lent. In the ancient world, a son represented his father. In the Old Testament, the King of Israel is sometimes called God's Son. Read that in the Psalms and in 2 Samuel. Meaning that he represented God the Father here on earth, and he is intended to be obedient to God. Intended to be obedient to his Father. As the Son of God, the King of Israel of that time, as it was sometimes referred to, an earthly power. The Messiah had ultimate earthly power. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, I'll make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. From the second Psalm. The meaning of the words, you are my son, was spoken to Jesus at his baptism. And there's an issue here in this temptation narrative that we have read. The three temptations have to do with earthly power, with earthly glory, and with earthly acquisition or materialism. In each case, Jesus responds, quoting Scripture. Jesus is led by the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1, into the wilderness to be tempted or tested, this time by the enemy of the soul. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterwards hungry. Most of us aren't going to make it 40 days and 40 nights without being hungry. We might go through momentary or periodic times of fasting as a personal discipline, but nothing like 40 days and 40 nights. Because remember, that's a month plus 10 days, roughly. Tough to make it. In his humanity, the Lord was hungry, in need of sustenance. When we leave here this morning, this afternoon, we'll probably go home and have dinner. Lunch and then dinner. We rarely go without having food available and at our disposal that we can partake of, that provides us nourishment, that allows us to continue and to be healthy. Beyond the walls of ourselves, beyond the walls of our nation, even within our nation, there are those who go hungry. Those who do without, those who do not have. Think about globally those situations where people are hungry, where they are, in many cases, in some cases, starving. So the Lord has been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. The most immediate thing that the tempter, as the King James translation calls it, came to him was to talk about food. Food. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If thou, raising into question, is he or is he not? Will he be faithful or unfaithful to his father's responsibility given to him? See, the issue here is faithful or unfaithful to God. Secondary is the allurement to sin. Because when we think about temptation, we think of it as being an allurement to sin. And so the first temptation is serving oneself and one's senses. What was the original temptation that befell those who were created in the image of God? The Garden of Eden? Disobedience. The Lord sets before us this morning the concept of obedience versus disobedience. Faithful and unfaithful. Trusting the authority and the guidance of God versus serving oneself and what this earth has and this world has to offer. Short-term enjoyment. Do we see that around us? Short-term enjoyment threatens long-term goals, doesn't it? We are encouraged to set goals. Short-term goals, long-term goals. But don't allow this acquisition mentality or this short-term enjoyment to threaten what is in our long-term best interest. Temptation for Jesus throughout his ministry. Remember at the crucifixion, he is tempted by the onlookers, told to save himself from the cross. It's a time of tremendous personal suffering, as we know. So too here, the first temptation or test to eat comes in a time of severe hunger, as Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. The desire to do something. I'm sure he would have willingly eaten if his disciples had offered him bread. But here we have this contrast between one who's saying, if thou be, you can make. Now his obedience is no longer to his father's will, but to the enemy of the soul. Yeah, the probability of gratification or advantage in this time of testing. If we look at the panorama of the ministry of Jesus Christ, he's always focused on others, not on himself. That's a good example to us. Service to others, concern for others, service outside of the walls of ourself. Deuteronomy 8, Verse 3, it is written, one does not live by bread only, or by bread alone. Moses reminds the people of Israel that God tested them in the wilderness by hunger. But God fed them in the wilderness by manna, to make them understand that one does not live by bread alone. We realize that. We know that. But we certainly appreciate a good meal, don't we? Spread before us, shared with family, especially at holidays or special events. Remember, the manna in the Old Testament wasn't there to be put into a bag and saved for tomorrow. It was sufficient for the day. Sufficient for the day. Times not so long ago, there was not the benefit of having freezers and refrigerators and food that we can put in our cupboards that last for a long time. They were more dependent upon providence in the short term rather than being concerned for the long term. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God presupposes or speaks to spiritual bread, things that sustain us in spirit and in soul, not just this physical being that we take care of and are so concerned with. We deal with uncertainty and illness. You know, we all read about in our paper, don't read papers anymore, do we? Read it online. Regarding viruses that suddenly crop up. I was categorizing them in my own mind over this past week. We had the swine flu, we had the bird flu, we have SARS, we have Ebola, now we have the coronavirus. Things that crop up that remind us that our journey here is temporary, our stay here is temporary. And we need to deal with it when it comes up. The uncertainty of it, the unknown. That's real. Unknown is real. But Lord gives us strength for today, manna for today, sustenance for today, spiritual sustenance, even physical nourishment as well. The Lord Jesus Christ was successful in every test. Every test, not just one test, passed this one, didn't pass that. Go through our educational journey of whatever length that might happen to be. We take tests to show proficiency and knowledge and that we understand the material. Testing. We will go through testing. Is it going to end today? Not going to end tomorrow. It will continue as long as our journey continues here on this earth. And the Lord provides for our spiritual sustenance and our spiritual journey and our needs. Might struggle with some things, of course. All of us within our own self struggle with something. One type or another. But we don't live by bread alone. Natural bread. But we live by, in our spiritual journey, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God as he provides. It's interesting to have this enemy of the soul interacting with the Lord himself. That's ultimately where it comes from. God indeed tempts no one, it tells us in Hebrews. But there are multiple things outside the walls of the church, outside of the walls of our families, that would provide a point of testing and assessment. The second temptation is that of power. A direct appeal to the human desire for power and authority. Jesus has the authority and the glory already. But the devil took him upon the pinnacle of the temple in the holy city and pointed out to him this power to save himself, if thou be, again, the if statement. Trying to create doubt, trying to create uncertainty. And so, otherwise, sometimes we might have that, if you are a child of God, and fill in the blank that follows, to create uncertainty and doubt in our mind. Are you or are you not? Am I or am I not? That's why we have Scripture. The confirmation of Scripture that we are a child of His because of the finished work and redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Remove the if. Remove the doubt. But for the enemy of the soul to say, if thou be the Son of God, he knew very well that this was the Son of God that he was interacting with. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. sometimes there are natural circumstances and situations where somebody goes, prove it to me. Show me. Sometimes we are unable to provide authentic or adequate proof. There's still doubt. It's within our mental makeup to have doubts. Put aside the doubts and the fears that might so easily beset our path and run with patience the race that is set before us. As the writer of the Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher or completer of our faith. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Even the enemy of the soul knows Scripture. Psalm 91. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's offered authority and glory. The kingdoms of this world, the protection. Embrace something other than that which he's called to do. We know there is contesting powers in our country for authority and power. Might makes right is so oftentimes said, and that's so untrue. Jesus rejects this as a clear sign of his being the Messiah. His kingdom was and is of a different nature than common expectation, because his mission was about saving others by giving of himself, not about asserting worldly power. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to restore. Jesus Christ came to give unto us life eternal. Saving others. His angels shall have charge over thee. Into their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He doesn't fail. We'll oftentimes find something that we fail in. Beat ourselves up. How come that happened? Why didn't I respond correctly? And on and on. Or we might fail and somebody else berates us about what was done or what was not done. Failure is a part of being in this earthly journey. But Jesus does not fail. Scripture is infallible. Assess what's taking place against that which is scriptural and that which is moral, that which is principled, and that which reflects the teaching of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. All these places where he is being tested, yet he doesn't fail. You know, can understand this, the pinnacle of the temple. Ancient world would likely to interpret it being saved after being cast down as the tricks of a magician. Legends developed later in the church about the apostles facing down such satanic-inspired magicians led to fame and riches for these people rather than service in the cross, foreshadowing the crucifixion. That's what all this does. No, there was testing of the people of Israel in the wilderness. The 40 days of testing that we have here. Recall the 40 years of Israel's service in the wilderness. Or Moses' service on behalf of Israel, their testing in the wilderness. Israel wasn't always faithful. Didn't pass the test satisfactorily. Jesus completes this time of testing. Remains true to his vocation as the Son of God, refusing to follow the requests of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, God does not tempt us, but he does test us. God's trusting us to make the right choice, the choice of faithfulness. All three of these temptations, whether it be the making of stone into bread, the protection, the power to no longer be harmed by falling, or the kingdoms of the world, all the glory of them, if all these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Our faith is tested in the course of our lives, from birth to death. He was obedient to the course where he had been set by his baptism by John at the River Jordan. His followers were tested. The original 12 then became 11, then back to 12, and those beyond those original core disciples. But it's comforting to know that God remains faithful to us, even if we fail. The author of Hebrews said, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is in every respect have been tested as we are, yet without sin." You see, the Lord was perfect God and perfect man. His kingdom was not about political rule, but rather about a reclamation project by God the Father of the entire world, the entire fallen world. So whereas it's the coming by Adam and Eve resulted in the loss of God's presence, Jesus' resistance here was the beginning of the restoration project. And Romans 5, which we read, makes the Adam-Christ comparison explicit. Here it's simply implied. Jesus is said in Scripture to be tempted or tested over a 40-day period. Where did Moses go for 40 days? Well, writing the covenant for the people of Israel in Exodus to the top of Mount Sinai. But also 40 years they were in the wilderness, in the desert, experiencing wanderings because of their own unfaithfulness. And so we need to assume, as Scripture and as the church calendar follows, it's no coincidence that Lent is a 40-day period. So how does this direct our own 40-day experience? The common thread of these offerings presented to tempt, to test the very Son of God. Man does not live by bread only. We do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are protected. The angels are given charge over us. Even here, as quoted from Psalm 91, there is protection from harm. The high mountain, all the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them. It wasn't the enemy of the souls to give. In the natural way, he has influence over this world, even today, as we see in our time and our culture across the world, there are those situations that tell us he is having his sway. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Imagine that. That's audacious. To even think for a moment that the Son of God would potentially fall down and worship him. And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, or get thee behind me. For thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That's the charge to us. We are asked to be faithful, to worship the Lord our God and only serve him. And he left. Three times successful. When we fall down, he reaches out and picks us up. When we're struggling emotionally, he reaches out, picks us up. When we're dealing with physical illness and affliction, he reaches out, picks us up. Angels came and ministered unto the Lord. You see, what the devil's temptations were are an alternative mission and destiny to the cross. And to this inauguration or enactment of God's kingdom. We might be tested to abandon the task that God has given for us for ways that would be one of self-fulfillment, that might be power, that might be spectacle. And unlike Jesus, who was successful, we will doubtlessly fail at times. But Lent is a time specifically for recognizing that. Confessing failures, acknowledging self, feeling his arms wrapped around us, redirecting our steps to the ways of the Lord. And it's through the power of the Spirit that we too can successfully pass the test and even resist the temptations of the enemy of the soul. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we consider those examples that we have in Scripture regarding the three tests and temptations of the Lord. How we too might find ourselves in one of those categories where it seems very real to us, but that we might put it aside, and even as Jesus Christ used Scripture, so also should we. To not succumb to those tests and those temptations. A test is one to be passed. God indeed tempts no one. And now we trust this morning, as we depart from here, as we continue our journey of faith, may we be so successful in recognizing those places of tests and of trying. And to use Scripture and to use the power of the Spirit that we are enabled to be successful and to be true to your word. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.